Good morning to you. Thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, the day after Memorial Day weekend. It's always a mix of emotions, I know, for many Americans. I really appreciated hearing from so many of you who were willing to share photos and names, even stories and memories of your loved ones, whether family or friends, who lost their life in the line of duty, so military service to our country. I appreciate that you would share precious memories with us. And I did retweet a bunch of them on our show account at Amy After Hours, also on my account at A-Law Radio. Jay and I tag teamed it. And then our Facebook page has a good thread. I know that your memories, your loved ones, that grief never goes away. That hole is never filled. And it's an honor, not only when I hear from sailors and soldiers overseas who listen to us for a piece of home, but also those of you who are willing to open up about someone that you've lost to a radio host that you don't even know. That means a lot to me that you would trust me with that. So please check it out on either of our Twitter feeds or on our Facebook page. Also, I shared a video that I took at Pearl Harbor, the USS Arizona, going back just a couple weeks ago when we were there in Hawaii for the honeymoon. First place we went was Pearl Harbor, and it was really a bucket list item for me, more powerful than I could have expected. And while I was on the memorial, because it was so quiet, I was able to take a video of the American flag that was flying above the memorial, which of course is right over the USS Arizona. It's a burial site. It's a watery grave for thousands in that area. Not just the Arizona, but there were other ships that were there in Pearl Harbor that were also lost. And so to be there, the Navy asks you to be quiet, to be respectful, to understand that you're going to a gravesite, a cemetery, if you will. And I was able to take the video, and really there's no sound in the background, no voices, nothing. All you hear is the flag waving in the wind. And just that piece, but also that reminder, that those memories, I mean, that truly is part of what Memorial Day is all about. So you can check that out on Twitter and Facebook as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We are heading into a shortened work week. If you had off the holiday week, I know some people are on vacations. My mom and her husband were supposed to be on vacation at the Grand Canyon, actually, but because of the crazy storms that have been marching their way through Texas, wreaking such havoc, instead they're back in Texas in the Houston area waiting for a contractor. That's what they're doing, hoping for a contractor who will be able to fix their roof that currently has a tarp over it. When I was in the Temple, Texas area over the weekend for a family wedding, my mother-in-law's house didn't have power from Wednesday night until Sunday morning, an hour before we had to wake up for the airport. But believe me, we were awake. The humidity, the heat inside the house, it might have been cooler outside. It was tough. And I know many people are in that situation, still without power. In the Midwest, we've had dozens of people who've lost their lives in tornadoes and severe weather, and also along the Gulf Coast, a lot of different places. And there is more weather. There's a lot more rain in the forecast. So I understand firsthand, saw the damage and the devastation of a couple tornadoes there in Temple while I was gone over the weekend. So I know the weekend was also tough for a lot of people, too, who are still dealing with just the devastation that severe weather can reap. And gosh, it seems like you can, in minutes, have your whole life turned upside down by one of those severe weather events. So thinking of those of you who are in that case too, or in that situation too. Of course, the basketball world mourning the loss of a Hall of Famer, the legendary Bill Walton. If you missed my conversation with Steve Futterman, who's a longtime CBS News reporter and correspondent, he actually struck up a friendship with Bill Walton, and he reached out to me on Monday afternoon and asked if I'd like to have him on the show to talk about his relationship with Bill that spanned decades, went back to when Bill was in his, he watched him when he played college basketball at UCLA, but then early in his NBA career was able to strike up a friendship that continued, even shared a text message that he got from Bill last year, but did not know that Bill was battling cancer. Said that was really something that people talked about when he was no longer doing broadcasts, and again, March of this year, but that it wasn't confirmed other than to family and the closest of friends. And so it was a surprise to many in the basketball world that he passed away this holiday weekend at 71 after what was an extended battle with cancer. So I want to bring back part of that conversation with Steve, because it was a great insight into the type of man that Bill was on the court, but also a bit of a contradiction, a conundrum away from the court, and had many other interests besides basketball. And his NBA career wasn't that long, wasn't even 500 games, but he did win a championship with the Celtics. There was a moment of silence before the Pacers and the Celtics tipped off in game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals. And true to form, the Pacers were able to build a lead against the best team in the NBA.
Brown defending, Siakam attacking, right of the lane, leans to the glass, fails to convert, got his own and put it home. Rebound hits the floor, Turner has it, ahead to Nembhard. Nembhard down the right side, got to the glass, counted, and put Nembhard on the line with a chance for a three-point play. Nembhard down the left side, can't get to the goal, gave it to Toppin. Center of the floor, Nesmith, he'll attack, he's in traffic, and right in front, he scores.
It was really the aggressiveness of the Pacers that helped them to build a lead in the fourth quarter. It was mostly a back-and-forth game. In fact, neither one of these teams ever led by double figures. So in this case, the Celtics, once again, battling from behind, but it wasn't a double-figure lead like the opener. Still, though, there was a moment with 8.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter that I felt like was a major turning point. I actually yelled at the TV because it felt so significant to me. The Pacers were up by 9. That was their largest lead. And after a defensive rebound on the other end, TJ McConnell races up the court. He gives up the ball. He gets it back as he cuts directly to the hoop. He gets behind and between defenders in the lane. Ball is delivered back to him in stride. He misses the layup. Again, I yelled out loud. And then to make matters worse, on the other end, Jaylen Brown buries a 3. And instead of being up 11, the Pacers are down 7. I'm sorry, the Pacers are only up by 7, excuse me. The Celtics are able to cut it down to a 7-point deficit. And from that point on, the Celtics were the ones in attack mode. Trailing by 8, halfway through that fourth quarter, we see the major difference between these two teams come into play again. Emphasized again, the experience, the veterans on this Celtics team, how many times they've been in situations like this, and no, they haven't always capitalized, but closing out the game with offensive rebounds, steals, block shots, forcing turnovers, and hitting enough shots to put them in position with the game on the line.
Turner playing with 5 fouls. Tatum switches to the left hand, steps back to his left and drills a 3. It's a 3-point game. Fast back for Holiday. Holiday dribbling low, attacking Toppin, gets in pretty deep. Pump fake, puts it off the window and in. Scored in the foul. It's late fourth quarter time, so here comes Drew Holiday. Jaylen, pump fake, steps through, floats it up and in. And game 4 is tied with 2:39 to go.
That's that move that he's done over and over again. It's the man up in the air.
So the Celtics rallied to tie it in the fourth quarter. You hear Sean Grady, Cedric Maxwell on Celtics radio before that, Pacers radio. You know what it reminded me of? The final 2.5 minutes? You guys remember the Warriors-Cavaliers Game 7, 2016, so the 15-16 season, but the finals were in June of 16. and they're playing in Oakland at the time, the Oracle. 2.5 minutes, the last 2.5 minutes of game seven, they were excruciating because nobody could score. Shot after shot from everybody. Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, LeBron James. Nobody could get a shot to drop except Kyrie Irving.
We get this party started.
Who hit a three. It was the only bucket in the last 2.5 minutes. It broke a tie, and it gave the Cavaliers their first NBA championship. And then again, that was Game 7 at Golden State. Not quite the same stakes for the Celtics and Pacers, but the final 2.5 minutes. Now, the clock is running most of the time because they're just missing shots on each end, or Jaylen Brown's coming up with a big block. Pacers turning the ball over. The clock is running, so it actually might have been the fastest final 2.5 minutes of a closeout game of any series we've ever seen in the NBA. And just like that Game 7 between the Cavs and the Warriors, one bucket in the final 2.5 minutes.
Celtics get their turn as we go into minute 48 of Game 4. A chance for the Celtics to win the Eastern Conference Championship on the road as they did 2 years ago. Jaylen stops on a dime, dribbles to the middle of the floor, jump pass out of the corner, Derek White for three, got it! Derek White from the right corner has given Boston a 105-102 lead. 41 seconds to go in Game 4. T.J. McConnell, handoff Nembhard. Nembhard turns the corner, steps to his right, three to tie it, no. Rebound, Jason Tatum pulls it down and gets fouled in the backcourt by Nesmith.
Wow.
Boston by three, and the ball, 22 seconds to go in Game 4. Shot clock differential is 5 seconds. Drew Holiday deep on the right side. Horford comes out to set the screen. It's Holiday against Turner. Cross court, Tatum. 6 on the shot clock. Tatum against Turner. Tatum pushes off, steps back, 3 in the air, no good, rebound, Drew Holiday, 4 seconds to go, kick out Jaylen, can they get to him to commit the foul? They cannot, and it's over. It's over. The Boston Celtics swarm the floor. All year they said this team couldn't win in the clutch. They said they couldn't win at home. They said they played with their food, and they said the season was a failure if they didn't reach the finals. They have had a bad year because Game 1 is in Boston on June the 6th.
The final call with Grady and Max on the Celtics Radio Network. If you haven't checked Twitter this morning or you went to bed last night without checking it, you may have missed the photo that Sean shared on his account. It was the trophy. I can't remember the caption, but it was the Eastern Conference Finals trophy with Grandy and Max. So they're sitting together in their plane seats on the charter flight, the Celtics charter flight heading back to Boston. And I texted him and said, nice photo. And he writes back, it was actually better a few seconds before that when Max was still asleep.
His caption was, all carry-on baggage must fit underneath the seat in front of you.
Oh,
and of course,
go.
It's the trophy and it's massive and it won't
fit. Right, it won't fit. Thank you, Jay. Yeah, so good for Sean. Still as the longtime radio team of the Celtics, if you know the story, great. If you don't, it doesn't matter. But the one major benefit to being a radio voice instead of a TV voice is that you do get to follow the team as deep as it goes, as opposed to NBA TV rules where local TV broadcasts stop after the first round. He has the privilege of calling another NBA Finals, and Sean is one of the best in the business, a great friend, and so I'm thrilled for him and his son, who is a diehard Celtics fan. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So the Celtics are back in the NBA Finals for the second time in 3 years, have not won a banner, so they're looking for their 18th, going back to the days of Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, and Doc Rivers! You know, because remember, he actually did win a title before he was the worst playoff coach in the history of the world.
Hi.
Not that. Anyway, I will never forget that night. Anything is possible. Those guys are all retired now into the Hall of Fame. And you've got the Celtics still seeking banner number 18. But they will host the opener of the NBA Finals in 10 days. Is it 10 days? 9 days. In 9 days. Oy. That's a long time to wait. Now, granted, they're trying to get Kristaps Porzingis back. He should be healthy by then. By all accounts, he was getting close anyway. And with a group that has as many veterans as this team does, you wouldn't think it would be a problem. It's just a long time to be out of your rhythm. So Joe Mazzulla, the coaching staff, they have a similar challenge to what they had in between the earlier two rounds, right? When he talked about the paces that he was putting them through and how hard he was making them work.
Well, think about the end of the season, too. Really, the last month or 2 months, they were far and away the best team in the East. And were they really playing at their max capacity the last month and a half of the season? Maybe that helped them here in a weird way. Kind of like learn how to stay rested, but also ready at the same time.
Got you. Yeah. So it's a challenge, but it's certainly not insurmountable. We'll see whether or not the Mavericks can close out the Timberwolves on Tuesday night, which would mean they would have almost as much time off, not exactly the same amount of time. But I don't know if it might be, it actually might be better for them, might be a benefit to them if the series went a little longer, just so they're not off quite as much. Again, I don't think with the Celtics that derails them. Maybe it takes them a couple of minutes to shake the rust off. I mean, coming into this series, remember in game number one of the East Finals, they scored the first 12 points. Do you remember that? So, yeah, there was no rust there at all. Jaylen Brown, another performance in which he was aggressive on both ends of the court and really saved his best for last. In the final minute or so, the last sequence there, he has the block on one end, and then the assist to Derek White on the other end, which was that go-ahead three that you heard with Grandy. So yeah, for Derek White, who shot horribly to start this game, he has one of the biggest buckets of his life, finishes with 16 points. Now, he also had 5 steals and 3 block shots himself, so the Celtics defense was really active, but man, what a moment.
We just kind of wanted to stay the course. You know, they're going to make runs. They're going to do what they do. And so we just try to stay the course. And I'm just spacing. And shout out to JB for driving and making a good play. I just finally made a shot.
Yeah, that JB, he was the Larry Bird Eastern Conference Finals MVP. And so there are photos of him with a different trophy from Monday night.
I wasn't expecting that at all. You know, I'll never win. So I was just happy that we won and give credit to Indiana. You know, they played us tough. I know, like, people think that Indiana wasn't a good team or whatever the case may be. I mean, I thought they were as tough as anybody we've played all season.
From the first day I've been here, he's become more just like open-minded towards just growing as a basketball player. See what he's done in the community, and I just really, really value the time that I get to spend with him on and off the court. And you know, he just keeps getting better and better. I'm happy for him.
No, that was special. Big time to be rewarded for you know, how you play, and you know, that's a special accomplishment for him and for everybody.
Jaylen finishes with 29 points, 6 rebounds, 3 steals, 2 assists, one of them to Derek White late, and a block shot. And so here are the Celtics, who've dropped, what is it, 2 games? 1 game to the Cavaliers. 2 games. 1 game? I know they've won 6 in a row. Man, their losses are few and far between. But ended up losing the home court advantage initially to the Cavaliers, only to get it back, right? In this particular case with the Pacers, 3 different times, the Pacers almost have them on the ropes and just cannot close. And a lot of that has to do with their youth. Of course, they're missing their all-star point guard in Tyrese Halliburton. But according to the Celtics, the veterans, even if this goes down as a sweep, don't call it easy.
Just a grind it out type of game. It was a hard game. A lot of credit to the Pacers. Just a team that just did not quit. Did not quit. Their fight is unbelievable. They didn't make excuses. They continue to play, and they pushed us. They pushed us to the edge.
The guys did a great job having an understanding that, like, a game is not supposed to go a certain type of way, and you got to find different ways to win. You got to learn to protect leads. You got to learn to come back from deficits. You have to learn to execute in close game situations. You have to communicate adjustments, and you just got to make plays. You got to be tough-minded.
So the Celtics are moving on. We'll have some time to wait. Meanwhile, you've got Mavericks and Timberwolves tonight. And we'll hear from the Pacers locker room as well as a couple of minutes on Bill Walton, his life away from basketball, who he was when he wasn't in uniform. As our friend Steve Futterman told us from LA earlier, a contradiction. Good morning to you. Hope you enjoyed the holiday weekend. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
This has become a big-time Pac-12 February game.
Ted, as we're rolling along the rivers here and we're bouncing from star to star, from the Berkeley Hills to the Willamette Valley and Skinner Butte, from Strawberry Creek to the Willamette River, it's all happening right now. And with Arizona at the top playing at Colorado at the end of the day today, the winner of this game could very well be tied for first place in the all-important battle for the best seeding. As we tip this game off today, there are so many storylines, Ted, that can just tantalize the mind and the soul. Imagination and curiosity, it's all right here.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
From Bill Walton's final broadcast on the Pac-12 Network, February 10th, 2024, Washington State versus Oregon in college hoops. And that was his passion, college hoops. Longtime broadcaster after his playing career with the legendary John Wooden at UCLA, a champion, had one of the greatest championship game performances of all time. I didn't see it, but read about it, heard about it for years. He goes into the NBA, ends up playing fewer than 500 games, but does win a title with the Boston Celtics. And on the day in which they advance to another NBA Finals and try to win banner number 18, there was a moment of silence for the former Celtic champion in game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals, that taking place in Indianapolis. Of course, they love their basketball and love their basketball history. Steve Futterman, who's a longtime CBS News anchor and correspondent, now freelancing, but has been covering all the major events in news and sports for decades. He reached out and asked if I'd like him to join the show to share his reflections, his memories of a friendship with Bill Walton. I just wanted to bring back part of that on this Tuesday morning. I asked Steve how he got to know Bill.
I got to know him. Well, first of all, my first connection with Bill was as a fan. I was a kid growing up in L.A. I remember seeing him at UCLA games. In fact, his first Final Four happened to be in Los Angeles. I think this was in 1972. The Final Four was in Los Angeles, and I went to the Sports Arena, an arena that no longer exists, and saw Bill Walton in the Final Four. So I saw him play growing up. Was always a huge UCLA fan. Kareem, I mean, just still am, by the way. Big UCLA fan. So I was just an admirer of his. And, of course, he won. So I've always followed his career. Remember very well the famous second Final Four he was in, which was against Memphis State. 21 out of 22 shots he made. And still, I think, one of the greatest performances in the championship game. And so I've always followed him. But the way I got to know him in this sense was Bill Walton was a news junkie. I became aware that he listened to news, and I'm a newscaster. So he was aware of me, not as much as I was aware of him, but he was aware of me. And we met one time. I'm trying to remember how it first happened, but we did become acquainted. And then every time I would see him, I would say hello. We would talk at times. We would share stories sometimes. And that's really how I got to know Bill Walton.
Steve Futterman is with us now from, are you in L.A.?
Yeah, in L.A.
And he was a longtime correspondent with CBS News, and I was talking about you earlier, Steve, that not only have you covered events on the world stage, serious events, tragedies, both man-made and natural, but also being a big-time sports fan, I just have remembered you for years covering some of the biggest events on that sports stage. So then when it came to Bill Walton, what type of impression did he leave on you after you were able to speak with him personally?
Oh, I mean, this guy is... He's not trying to seduce you. He's not trying to charm you, but he is what he is. The honesty about Bill Walton is what is, I think, so seductive. As a news reporter, what do we like? We like truth. We like honesty. We like authenticity. Now, listen, there are some people who are horrible people who are authentic in that way, but Bill Walton was not a horrible person. He was a fun person. He liked to have fun. He was serious in his beliefs. You know, obviously, if you go way back when, there were a lot of people who were not really fans of Bill Walton. He had a bit of Muhammad Ali in him. If you go back to the early days of Muhammad Ali refusing to go into the army, refusing to go fight in Vietnam, although it never got to that point, he just refused to be inducted. He also adopted a Muslim name. He went from Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali. So, and he was a loudmouth. So there were things that made, I would say, middle class, average America not really like Muhammad Ali. But as years went by, they fell in love with him. By the time he lit the torch at the Atlanta Olympics, he was a hero that everyone liked. Bill Walton had a bit of the same thing in him. Early on, you know, he was always a bit of a, I would say, didn't go with the trend. For example, that first Final Four I talked to you about, UCLA beat Florida State. After the game, UCLA's the champion. Bill Walton was not very happy. UCLA did not play very well. They did not dominate the game. He didn't play very well. He was like the most unhappy national championship player you could ever think about. He had the counterculture aspect to him. He was arrested when he was playing at UCLA. He took part in a sit-in on Wilshire Boulevard, not far from UCLA, an anti-Vietnam War protest. There are pictures of him. If you go on X or Facebook, you'll see there's one great picture of Bill Walton being led to a LAPD bus that was taking people who were being arrested away to be booked. You can tell who he is. He stands far above the police officers. He had this aspect to him. He was a bit of a... didn't conform to things, and I think it did bother some people. He went to, obviously, the Portland Trail Blazers, had that counterculture image. He even had a connection, not directly but indirectly, with the Symbionese Liberation Army, Patty Hearst. That was the O.J. Simpson trial of the 1970s. He didn't ever meet Patty Hearst at that time, but one of the gentlemen he was connected with was a guy named Jack Scott. He was very closely associated with Patty Hearst and her efforts to escape the FBI. So this was this counterculture image. So I think many people just didn't like Bill Walton. By the end, by today, everyone loves him. He just was a magnificent guy. I think we saw the side of Bill Walton that I think touched people's hearts more as an announcer. He just had fun. He talked about things. He took some things seriously, but not a lot of things.
Steve Futterman, and that whole conversation is part of our podcast that will be posted in its entirety on both Twitter and Facebook in the next 45 minutes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Coming up, the Pacers in the wake of a sweep in the Eastern Conference Finals. Man, this time of the year, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, it can be so acute, even when it's not the end. Like, for instance, the Oilers and Connor McDavid and the lead they had, and then ultimately suffering a loss at the hands of the Stars and knowing that it got away and wondering about the what-ifs. It's all of that that's so prominent this time of the year when the stakes are higher and there are only a handful of teams left.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
TJ McConnell will trigger the inbound. Into the backcourt. Emhart gets a running start. Right-hand dribble. Pass Jaylen. Scoops it up. Blocked by Jaylen Brown. He stayed with Nembhard and blocked the shot, spiking it into the ground. Now the Celtics get their turn as we go into minute 48 of game 4.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jaylen Brown on the defensive end, and right after that, Jaylen Brown on the offensive end as he passes the ball to Derek White, wide open in the right corner, drains the triple, one of the biggest shots of his career, but also he was just happy the shots were going down after he'd missed so many to start the game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boston goes on a 15-4 run to close it out, not just game four, but the series in a sweep. And I mean, I think back to what, game three, where the Pacers had an 18-point lead. Is that what it was in game number three? And that's in the second half. That was Saturday night. They also were able to lead. Well, we think back to game one. They were able to rally past the Celtics twice in game one after they trailed by double figures and had that 3-point lead with 10 seconds left and the ball and lost that game. You have to try to do that. So yeah, Jaylen Brown, fitting, because he started out the series with the bang and the big three himself in those final few seconds. That game went into overtime, obviously, but also able to close it out in such a big way. Jrue Holiday, his second NBA Finals appearance, first one with Milwaukee. They've got so much experience. They're tough. They're battle-tested even before this season. And we'll see about Kristaps Porzingis, but plenty of time. As for Rick Carlisle, the Indiana Pacers, I would say most people believe they went further than expectations, right? So this is a good building block for them, as tough as it is.
The level of fight was just tremendous all the way through this. Circumstance never fazed them one way or the other. They were in this to win every possession that they could and any game that they could. There were a lot of things accomplished this year, and certainly expectations will be raised for next year, which is good. So there are challenges to meet over the summer for our guys to all get better. All of us involved need to get better.
It's hard in the moment to think about it being a step forward, to think about it being part of the foundation, building that foundation. But it is. I mean, you can look back in many cases. I think the Celtics wouldn't have obviously wanted it to be that way in 22, and then again against the Heat last season in the Eastern Conference Finals, only to have to re-rack and start all over again. And Marcus Smart was the price they paid to get Kristaps Porzingis to change their directions this year, bringing back Al Horford. They did have to get rid of some pieces that were instrumental for them the last two seasons. But Brad Stevens did a great job, as hard as it was. And now here they are, a better team in a better place. Can the Pacers look at that and say, okay, that's where we're going. That's where we want it. That's where we want to be. And sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it comes with a cost. Wonder how it might have been different with Tyrese Halliburton. Just the what ifs in this series are so tough. But Andrew Nembhard was great. I mean, in stepping in for Halliburton, he had 24 points and 10 assists last night, and he is looking at this as a valuable experience.
I think we've learned how these games go and how it's like what being in a series feels like. I've never played a team seven times or six times in a row, so. It's an interesting feel, and it was a fun experience, and a lot of things you could kind of reflect on and take into the next season for sure.
We made our share of mistakes, like tonight. Yeah, we gambled probably five times in the second half that led to at least 10 points for them. And those are discipline type things that you have to learn in this kind of environment.
Well, they won't forget these. Gosh, the major disparity between these two teams, the Celtics' ability to rally and close and perform in the clutch, the Pacers' mistakes. So one team could close, one team could not. And honestly, could you say something similar about the Timberwolves versus the Mavericks? Not quite as drastic as the East, but close. And we'll get that Western Conference Finals Game 4 coming up on Tuesday night, or tonight, I guess. I can say tonight now. Sometimes I forget what the hour is and that now the vast majority of our listeners are listening on the morning routine. Oh, does it hurt back into your morning routine? I hope that you enjoyed the downtime, maybe some of you taking even longer than just an extended holiday weekend. We were hoping to grill on Monday, but most of the afternoon and evening was a major washout. I know a lot of you around the country can identify, to be sure. There's been a ton of severe weather. Still neat, though, for the sporting events that did go on. And there were some that were canceled because of weather, but the sporting events that did take place, the moments to honor those who are fallen heroes from their time in military service and to remember, yes, it's great to be happy, joyful, enjoying the freedoms as Americans in a holiday weekend, but also remembering why we have those freedoms. To me, that's the perspective that I want to keep. In hockey last night, Jason Robertson with a playoff career first, a hat trick, completing that for the Dallas Stars midway through the third period. Right, so they were in an 0-2 hole. Well, they were down. That makes it sound like the series. They were down 2 goals after the opening period and 3 goals in 3 minutes and 33 seconds. I love the numerology. In fact, as I say 33, I'm looking up at the TV and Larry Bird is in a commercial. He does those Allstate commercials where he ends up hanging from the attic ceiling, a la Money Pit and Tom Hanks. Have you ever seen that commercial?
Why is he having a lacrosse stick?
Well, because he's chasing the vermin in the attic.
Oh, that was the first time I was sorry. Caught the end of the tail end.
Right. So he, the stupid Allstate guy who like always is in accidents and yeah. Yes, the mayhem guy.
His name is Mayhem.
Is it?
Right. It's him. Mayhem, like him.
Okay. Right. So he's Mayhem and he's in the attic and he's making a lot of noise and he's doing a lot of damage. And Bird goes up there and finds a well, I don't know if he takes it up there with him. Anyway, he has the lacrosse stick and he's trying to hit this vermin and kill the vermin. And instead, he just wrecks his entire attic and then steps on a soft spot and finds his way through the floor, ceiling/floor, and is hanging there. But I can't help it because it reminds me of when Tom Hanks was stuck. No joke, my all-time favorite comedy scene in the history of cinema. It's such a dumb movie, and yet I seriously think I stopped watching comedies after that.
It is tremendous.
It is. And apparently it was a lot of improvisation from Tom Hanks, as you can imagine. That's not even the scene where he's hanging in the carpet for hours, right? His wife is in the house. She can't find him. She can't figure out where he is. She's up and down the stairs. Anyway, yeah, he's hanging up there for hours in the carpet. He's stuck and he can't get his hands out. He can't reach the phone. The phone keeps ringing. That's the scene where the tub drops through the floor and the whole house is destroyed in the matter of about 2 seconds. And he just watches the tub fall through the floor and loses his mind after everything else that has gone on. Oh my gosh. I will admit to watching some Jim Carrey and Vince Vaughn flicks, of course. There are some comedies I've watched since then. Some rom-com, sure, but nothing tops Money Pit in my mind.
Is that his funniest movie?
I think it is, but that's just me. I mean, I also thought Joe versus the Volcano was one of the worst movies ever seen. And
I haven't seen that
one. Don't waste your time.
Remember the other show? You were asking me if there's any Tom Hanks movies I didn't like. There is one, actually. Sleepless in Seattle. Not a fan.
What?
Boring. Not a fan.
And here I thought we were kindred spirits.
That's the only one.
No.
But yeah, not for me.
Negative Ghost Rider.
Maybe I was too young when I first saw it. I haven't given it a chance since.
You need to stop talking. Let's hear from Connor McDavid. Because, like I say, this time of the year, man, the losses, they hurt. The thrill of victory, but the agony of defeat.
They all stink. Yeah, I mean, they all stink. Losing sucks, obviously. And,
it does. It does suck.
You know, series are short, you know. You only get a handful of games, and you never like to get, you know, I'm not going to say we gave it away. They you know, it was 40 minutes, and, you know, we were able to wrestle it back, and but just don't find a way again.
Yeah. The losses and the pain is heightened. There's an acute sense of pain, even more so when you get to this time of the year. So Celtics are through. Mavericks can join them. I'm not sure that's a great idea. Actually, not that they're going to throw the game, but I wouldn't be opposed to the series going a little longer in the West for the Mavericks' sake. Oh, man. Think about it. Kyrie Irving back in Boston. Just savor that for a second. Oh, my goodness. You thought Craig Council got booed in Milwaukee. Ha! Talk to you tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom! And there are only a handful of teams left.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
TJ McConnell will trigger the inbound. Into the backcourt. Emhart gets a running start. Right-hand dribble. Wow. Pass Jaylen. Scoops it up. Blocked by Jaylen Brown. He stayed with Nembhard and blocked the shot, spiking it into the ground. Now the Celtics get their turn as we go into minute 48 of game four.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
And Jaylen Brown on the defensive end, and right after that, Jaylen Brown on the offensive end. As he passes the ball to Derek White, wide open in the right corner. Drains the triple, one of the biggest shots of his career, but also he was just happy the shots were going down after he'd missed so many to start the game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boston goes on a 15-4 run to close it out, not just game four, but the series in a sweep. And I mean, I think back to what, game three, where the Pacers had an 18-point lead. Is that what it was in game number three? And that's in the second half. That was Saturday night. They also were able to lead, we think back to game one. They were able to rally past the Celtics twice in game one after they trailed by double figures and had that three-point lead with 10 seconds left and the ball and lost that game. You have to try to do that. So, yeah, Jaylen Brown, fitting, because he started out the series with the bang and the big three himself in those final few seconds. That game went into overtime, obviously, but also able to close it out in such a big way. Jrue Holiday, his second NBA Finals appearance, first one with Milwaukee. They've got so much experience. They're tough. They're battle-tested even before this season. And we'll see about Kristaps Porzingis, but plenty of time. As for Rick Carlisle, the Indiana Pacers, I would say most people believe they went further than expectations, right? So this is a good building block for them, as tough as it is.
The level of fight was just tremendous all the way through this. Circumstance never fazed them one way or the other. They were in this to win every possession that they could and any game that they could. There were a lot of things accomplished this year, and certainly expectations will be raised for next year, which is good. So there are challenges to meet over the summer for our guys to all get better. All of us involved need to get better.
It's hard in the moment to think about it being a step forward, to think about it being part of the foundation, building that foundation. But it is. I mean, you can look back in many cases. I think the Celtics wouldn't have obviously wanted it to be that way in 22 and then again against the Heat last season in the Eastern Conference Finals, only to have to re-rack and start all over again. And Marcus Smart was the price they paid. To get Kristaps Porzingis to change their directions this year, bringing back Al Horford, they did have to get rid of some pieces that were instrumental for them the last two seasons. But Brad Stevens did a great job, as hard as it was. And now here they are, a better team in a better place. Can the Pacers look at that and say, okay, that's where we're going. That's where we want it. That's where we want to be. And sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it comes with a cost. Wonder how it might have been different with Tyrese Halliburton. Just the what ifs in this series are so tough. But Andrew Nembhard was great. I mean, in stepping in for Halliburton, he had 24 points and 10 assists last night, and he is looking at this as a valuable experience.
I think we've learned how these games go and how it's like what being in a series feels like. I've never played a team seven times or six times in a row, so it's an interesting feel, and it was a fun experience, and a lot of things you could kind of reflect on and take into the next season for sure.
We made our share of mistakes, like tonight. Yeah, we gambled probably five times in the second half that led to at least 10 points for them. And those are discipline type things that you have to learn in this kind of environment.
Well, they won't forget these. Gosh, the major disparity between these two teams, the Celtics' ability to rally and close and perform in the clutch, the Pacers' mistakes. So one team could close, one team could not. And honestly, could you say something similar about the Timberwolves versus the Mavericks? Not quite as drastic as the East, but close. And we'll get that Western Conference Finals Game 4 coming up on Tuesday night, or tonight, I guess. I can say tonight now. Sometimes I forget what the hour is, and that now the vast majority of our listeners are listening on the morning routine. Oh, does it hurt? Back into your morning routine. I hope that you enjoyed the downtime. Maybe some of you taking even longer than just an extended holiday weekend. We were hoping to grill on Monday, but most of the afternoon and evening was a major washout. I know a lot of you around the country can identify, to be sure. It's been a ton of severe weather. Still neat, though, for the sporting events that did go on. And there were some that were canceled because of weather, but the sporting events that did take place, the moments to honor those who are fallen heroes from their time in military service, and to remember, yes, it's great to be happy, joyful, enjoying the freedoms as Americans in a holiday weekend, but also remembering why we have those freedoms. To me, that's the perspective that I want to keep. In hockey last night, Jason Robertson with a playoff career first, a hat trick, completing that for the Dallas Stars midway through the third period, right? So they were in an 0-2 hole. Well, they were down. That makes it sound like the series. They were down two goals after the opening period, and three goals in 3 minutes and 33 seconds. I love the numerology. In fact, as I say 33, I'm looking up at the TV and Larry Bird is in a commercial. He does those Allstate commercials where he ends up hanging from the attic ceiling, a la Money Pit and Tom Hanks. Have you ever seen that commercial?
Why is he able to cross stick?
Well, because he's chasing the vermin in the attic.
Oh, that was the first time I was sorry. I caught the end of the tail end.
Right.
Of
so,
it.
So he, the stupid Allstate guy who, like, always is in accidents.
Mayhem?
And yeah. Yes, the Mayhem
I think
guy.
His name is Mayhem.
Is it?
Right. It's him. Mayhem, like him.
Okay. Right. So he's Mayhem and he's in the attic and he's making a lot of noise and he's doing a lot of damage. And Bird goes up there and finds a I don't know if he takes it up there with him. Anyway, he has the lacrosse stick and he's trying to hit this vermin and kill the vermin. And instead, he just wrecks his entire attic and then steps on a soft spot and finds his way through the floor, ceiling/floor, and is hanging there. But I can't help it because it reminds me of when Tom Hanks was stuck. No joke, my all-time favorite comedy scene in the history of cinema It's such a dumb movie, and yet I seriously think I stopped watching comedies after that.
It is tremendous.
It is. And apparently it was a lot of improvisation from Tom Hanks, as you can imagine. That's not even the scene where he's hanging in the carpet for hours, right? His wife is in the house. She can't find him. She can't figure out where he is. She's up and down the stairs. Anyway, yeah, he's hanging up there for hours in the carpet. He's stuck and he can't get his hands out. He can't reach the phone. The phone keeps ringing. That's the scene where the tub drops water through the floor and the whole house is destroyed in the matter of about 2 seconds. And he just watches the tub fall through the floor and loses his mind after everything else that has gone on. Oh my gosh. I will admit to watching some Jim Carrey and Vince Vaughn flicks, of course. There are some comedies I've watched since then. Some rom-com, sure, but nothing tops Money Pit in my mind.
Is that his funniest movie?
I think it is, but that's just me. I mean, it's... I also thought Joe versus the Volcano was one of the worst movies ever seen, and I
haven't seen that one.
Don't waste your time.
Oh, remember the other show? You're asking me if there's any Tom Hanks movies I didn't like. There is one, actually. Sleepless in Seattle. Not a fan.
What?
Boring. Not a fan.
And here I thought we were kindred spirits.
That's the only one.
No.
But yeah, not for me.
Negative Ghost Rider.
Maybe I was too young when I first saw it.
All right.
I haven't given it a chance since.
You need to stop talking. Let's hear from Connor McDavid. Because, like I say, this time of the year, man, the losses, they hurt. The thrill of victory, but the agony of defeat.
They all stink. Yeah, I mean, they all stink. Losing sucks, obviously. And,
it does. It does suck.
You know, series are short, you know. You only get a handful of games, and you never like to get, you know. I'm not going to say we gave it away. They you know, it was 40 minutes, and, you know, we were able to wrestle it back and but just don't find a way again.
Yeah. The losses and the pain is heightened. There's an acute sense of pain, even more so when you get to this time of the year. So Celtics are through. Mavericks can join them. I'm not sure that's a great idea. Actually, not that they're going to throw the game, but I wouldn't be opposed to the series going a little longer in the West for the Mavericks' sake. Oh, man. Think about it. Kyrie Irving back in Boston. Just savor that for a second. Oh, my goodness. You thought Craig Council got booed in Milwaukee. Talk to you tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!